time for New Media Beat on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Emily Semoletti.
And I'm Ethan Ford. Welcome to New Media Beat.
From Belarus.
Is there a free press in Belarus? Can independent media report in President Alexander Lukashenko's Belarus? Is Belarus a mini-Russia when it comes to media representation?
From Afghanistan. How has the return of the Taliban to power affected the media? How open is the internet?
Do Afghans have access to the internet and social media under the new Taliban government? Why are they banning Facebook? How big is Facebook in Kabul?
We have news about the internet and press freedom in Sudan. Sudan is a mess.
The people of Sudan are suffering. The catastrophic violence continues. How does the government control the media and the internet in war-torn Sudan? Can we even talk about the internet and press freedom when so many are dying?
From the European Union, we have news about e-commerce and social networking in EU.
Is Facebook too big in Europe? Why is the EU fining Meta for the promotion of Facebook Marketplace across its massive Facebook social network? Is that an unfair advantage for Facebook Marketplace? This is an antitrust fine. What does antitrust mean when it comes to competition in e-commerce? Facebook's combination of social networking and online shopping crushing the competition.
From the United Kingdom, we have journalism and social media news.
The Guardian newspaper is rejecting X. Why has this British news organization stopped sharing its content on Elon Musk's X? Just how toxic does a social media platform have to be to cause news organizations to cut them off? How does The Guardian explain its decision to quit X?
From France, we have even more X-bashing news.
Why are French news outlets suing Elon Musk's X? Should X have to pay news publishers to use their content? French newspapers are suing X for their using their content without payment. Where should the money go? To news publishers or social platforms? What does X owe content creators?
From Japan, we have news about Sony's latest bid for dominance.
Can global tech and entertainment giant Sony become even bigger? Will it acquire Kadokawa, another giant of Japanese multimedia publishing? What is Kadokawa, and why does Sony want to gobble up this multimedia publisher?
From Mexico, let's talk about drag media in Mexico.
Mexican TV has a new star, and she is a drag newscaster named Amanda. Amanda is much more than a pretty face. She is a journalist fighting for LGBTQ rights and representation with her own new show, La Verdrag. Can journalist Guillermo Barraza make it safer to be gay in Mexico by hosting a new show as Amanda?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury. Let's talk about a neighbor of Russia, Belarus. Belarus is much smaller than Russia, but the two nations have a lot in common. Maria Duran has a report about press freedom in Belarus. How much of media is controlled by the state in Belarus? Are journalists free to report? Is there a free and independent media in Belarus?
With the government suppressing critical voices, blocking independent media, and criminalizing certain online content, most non-state media operate from exile but still share content via social media. Amid political crisis and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the government has increased arrests and imposed long prison sentences. The government intensifies control over critical voices, blocks independent media, and criminalizes online content from groups it labels as terrorists. Security forces conduct raids, make arrests, and use torture to silence dissent.
Why are journalists being arrested?
Journalists in Belarus are being arrested because the government is trying to suppress critical voices and control the flow of information. They want to silence dissent and prevent independent reporting, especially during the political crisis and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. This includes using laws to criminalize certain content and imposing long prison sentences on those they detain. This is New Media Beat.
In 1979, Soviet Russia invaded and occupied Afghanistan, installing a communist government. The Soviet army and their Afghan client government were forced out in 1989 by insurgent forces supported by Pakistan and the United States. A civil war ensued that ended with the 1996 Taliban takeover of Kabul. The radical Islamist Taliban ruled from Kabul from 1996 to 2001 when the United States invaded Afghanistan after the Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks of 9/11. The United States overthrew the Taliban and tried its hand at nation building. That nation building project collapsed after our 20-year military occupation of Afghanistan. When the United States pulled out in 2021, the Taliban took over again. What has happened to the media since the return of the Taliban government in 2021? Has the Taliban gone back to its repressive ways? And what is the state of media freedom in Afghanistan today? My co-host, Emily Famiyat, has a report about the Taliban and social media today. Emily, what can you tell us about the media in Afghanistan? Why do we need to know about the Taliban government to understand its relationship with the media?
The Taliban is a group that returned to power in Afghanistan back in 2021, after their ousters by the U.S. troops 20 years ago. They made sure people in Afghanistan followed strict rules and restrictions, especially for women. The Taliban believes that banning or blocking Facebook is the best interest for the nation. By blocking Facebook, the Taliban wants to limit journalists from sharing news and information and silent activists and government critics.
One reason for proposing a ban on Facebook and other platforms in Afghanistan.
Facebook and other social media platforms have become part of people's everyday lifestyle. Over 3.5 million people in Afghanistan use Facebook, with 83% being males and 17% being women. The largest user age group between 18 and 24 years old use Facebook. Najibullah Haqqani, the Taliban's minister of telecommunications, has become concerned that the young people of today's world have become addicted to social media, specifically Facebook. He believes that the shutting down of Facebook would allow young people to have more time to do something more important and less exposed to inappropriate content. According to Haqqani, Afghanistan youth are too uneducated to use Facebook in a positive way, using it as a waste of time and money. Due to so many young children addicted to social media, Haqqani expressed concerns over the state of Afghan youth, describing them as scientifically weak or largely illiterate. Banning Facebook will allow kids to focus more on their education and allow themselves to succeed.
Why is Facebook important in Afghanistan?
Like any other social media platform, Facebook is very important in Afghanistan because it allows people to communicate, share information, and stay connected. Facebook has emerged as a major social media platform in Afghanistan. Facebook also fills a gap left by closure of hundreds of news outlets. Since 2021, hundreds of media outlets have closed, said Media Watchdog Reporters Without Borders. Many rely on Facebook for unfiltered information and particularly for women and girls to continue their pursuit of education denied to them by the Taliban. Due to the power the Taliban has on women's rights, Facebook gave them a safe space to do what they want and even educate themselves without punishment. This ban is creating a very limited and isolated life for those living in Afghanistan under the Taliban.
What are the effects of this ban in Afghanistan?
Taking away Facebook and banning Afghans from using social media platforms, it's taking away their freedom of speech. Due to the Taliban takeover, Facebook was one platform that helped people get through difficult times as their freedom was taken away. The Taliban is enforcing female television speakers to wear face masks and cannot participate in conferences without male chaperones. Women's education has been highly affected by the Taliban as well, by being banned from schools and universities. Not only is the Taliban banning Facebook to keep women isolated, but to also silence them from voicing the crime the Taliban committed against them. Facebook gave an outlet through the difficult times, a space where they can access outside information news, but also continue their studies they are being denied from. Not only is it affecting Afghans' freedom of speech, but their economy as well. According to the UNDP, since the takeover by the Taliban in 2021, the Afghan economy has contracted by 27%, leading an economic stagnation. Many businesses rely on social media for advertising and networking. This ban will create many challenges and impact for jobs for Afghans. For New Media Beat, I'm Emily Femmeletti. Back to you, Ethan.
Thanks, Emily. Let's talk about the internet in North Africa. People are starving because of the very violent war in Sudan. Death, disease, and displacement are ravaging the Sudanese people. Race is a factor. This is a war of ethnic cleansing. Thousands have died and 12 million have been displaced since the war broke out in April of 2023. The head of the World Health Organization says that starvation is everywhere, that the situation in Sudan is very alarming, and the massive displacement is now the largest in the world, and of course, famine. Both sides are committing war crimes, including sexual violence. According to Amnesty International, rape is a weapon of war in Sudan. What about the media in Sudan? What role do the media and the internet play in this conflict between the Sudanese armed forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces known as the RSF? Frank Wynak is in Studio A today with a report about the war, the media, and the internet in Sudan. Frank, tell us about the situation in Sudan.
Yeah, it's very serious. It's a real complex situation. I'm going to talk about what is the war, the government's involvement, and how it affected the internet and journalism.
What is the war in Sudan?
War in Sudan refers to the ongoing conflict between the Sudanese armed forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces, which erupted in April 2023. This power struggle emerged after months of escalating tensions between the two parties, both of which were key players in the transitional government formed after the 2019 ousting of longtime dictator Omar al-Bashir. The fighting has devastated cities, displaced millions, and created a dire humanitarian crisis with civilians caught in the crossfire and basic services collapsing.
How has the war affected the media and journalists?
The war in Sudan has severely impacted media operations and endangered journalists. Many have faced harassment, arrest, or violence while trying to report on the conflict. Media outlets have been censored or shut down, with some forced to operate from the outside. The chaotic and dangerous environment has made independent reporting nearly impossible, further providing misinformation and propaganda by the warring parties.
Is there press freedom in Sudan?
Press freedom in Sudan has been long precarious and has worsened during the war. Both the SAF and the RSF have targeted journalists, accused them of bias, and restricted access to information. Independent media face suppression, and state media largely reflect the narratives of the military factions. This lack of press freedom hinders transparency and magnifies misinformation, making it challenging for the public and the global community to understand the full scope of the conflict.
What is the role of government?
Sudan's government, fragmented by the war, is efficiently divided between the SAF and the RSF, both one in control. Each side claims legitimacy, and neither has shown a willingness to compromise. This leaves civilians without protection or basic services. International efforts to mediate have been met with limited success as both sides prioritize military dominance over a political resolution.
Does Sudan have internet?
Yes, Sudan has internet access, but it has been heavily disrupted during the war. Connectivity is often limited, particularly in conflict zones, as infrastructure has been damaged or deliberately targeted. Also, authorities have used internet shutdowns as a tool to control the flow of information, restricting citizens' ability to communicate, access news, or document human rights abuses.
What role does the internet play in relation to the war?
The internet plays a critical role in shaping the narrative of the war. It serves as a platform for activists and citizens to document tragedies, seek aid, and counteract propaganda. However, the digital space is also a battleground for misinformation, with both factions using social media to spread their agendas. Internet disruptions further isolate civilians and affect efforts to mobilize humanitarian aid or draw international attention to the conflict. For New Media Beat, I am Frank Whitenack. Back to you, Ethan.
Thank you, Frank.
Let's talk about e-commerce and social media in Europe with Victoria Lapkowitz. The European Union has rules. If you want access to millions of consumers in Europe, you need to play by EU rules. Meta is a global tech giant, masters of social media and e-commerce. Is Meta too big, too powerful, too dominant? What do the EU regulators in Brussels think about Meta's market power? Is this fair competition? Victoria, how did the case against Facebook start?
According to Europia, the official EU website, the case against Facebook began when the European Commission opened an investigation into the company's business practices in June 2021. The Commission was concerned that Facebook's conduct might be violating the EU competition laws, specifically regarding potential monopolistic behavior. This investigation was focused on how Facebook might be using its market dominance to harm competition, particularly in the online advertising sector and marketplace control. In December 2022, after months of analyzing the information, the European Commission sent its findings to Meta, Facebook's parent company. The report outlined concerns about Facebook's practices, specifically its use of data collected from advertisers to benefit its own services, potentially pushing out their competitors. This case marks a significant step in the EU's ongoing efforts to regulate big tech companies and ensure fair competition in the digital economy.
Would the European Union enforce the penalty if it plans to impose on Facebook?
The European Union plans to impose a significant penalty on Meta, formerly Facebook, fining the company $792.72 million, approximately $840 million. This fine is based on the Commission guidelines set in 2006 for determining penalties for antitrust violations. When calculating the fine, the Commission considers factors such as the duration of the case and the wide-reaching impact Facebook's monopolistic behavior may have had on their competitors and users across the European Union. In addition to the financial penalty, the Commission will require Meta to change its business practices. Margaret Vegesta, the executive vice president in charge of the competition policy, emphasized that Facebook's actions were a clear abuse of its dominant position. By putting itself above their competitors, Meta has violated the EU antitrust laws, and the EU enforcement strategy involves both financial penalties and directives for Meta to adjust their business practices in order to align with fair competition standards, ensuring that any such forms of monopolization does not continue in the future.
Why is Facebook contesting the EU's penalty, and what is their official response to these claims?
Meta has released a statement on their website on November 14, 2024, standing their case against the European Commission's accusations. In their response, Meta states that Facebook Marketplace operates between the demands and needs of its users. The company claims that the Marketplace was created with the customer in mind, stating that they do not charge their users to sell the items, which they argue demonstrates their commitment to providing a valuable service to the community. Meta further argues that the European Union lacks the strong evidence to support its claims. According to the company, Facebook Marketplace states that they have a significant fair amount of competition from other platforms, which are well established and offer their users a strong alternative to their own marketplace. Meta believes that since they have these fair amount of competitors, that it would undermine the EU's allegations of their anti-competitive behavior, suggesting that Facebook Marketplace is not as dominant as the Commission suggests. Therefore, Meta is contesting both the penalty and the claims of their market abuse, stating that the practices are useful and aligned with the interests of their users. For New Media Beat, this is Victoria Lapkowitz.
Thank you, Victoria. We have news from the UK. This is a story about the friction between news media and social media. Let's talk about the relationship between platforms and publishers. Why do new publishers need social media platforms? What do social media platforms get from news publishers? Is this a marriage of convenience? What happens when one of them wants a divorce? One British newspaper is breaking up with an American social media platform known as X. Jesse Manuel is going to explain why The Guardian kicking X to the curb. Is Elon Musk's platform a toxic boyfriend for an ethical newspaper? Why would a news publisher quit a major social media platform with millions of users? Don't news organizations need all the help they can get to amplify their content? Jesse, what are the main reasons The Guardian is leaving X?
The main causes of The Guardian leaving a platform like X includes concerns over the platform's environment of toxicity. Elon Musk promoting his political ideology, which he was discussing and influencing people to vote for Donald Trump, making the platform not safe anymore. So From the official editorial account, there will be no posting, but users can still share the Guardian article. Due to the political election, X has been involved in far-right conspiracy theories and racism.
How will the Guardian readership and circulation as a whole be affected by this decision?
They could possibly experience a temporary dip in engagement from users who primarily follow them on X. However, they could also see an increased engagement on their other platforms like Blue Sky or their own website, where they could choose to focus their efforts and potentially reach new audiences.
How has the Guardian statement been received by the general public and the media industry?
So Guardian journalist Tom Slater says that Britain's premier liberal newspaper seems to not understand that freedom of speech means occasionally encountering things you might find offensive is a telling sign of the times. Also, a Spain newspaper, La Vanguardia, is departing also from X, along with numerous other newspapers and even celebrities. Many people agree that X is toxic, and many people do not support Trump or Musk.
Why does The Guardian need a platform like X?
The Guardian and other newspaper companies utilize social media to advertise their businesses, connect with younger people on social media, and generate attention. It is anticipated that if The Guardian departs X, they will lose an audience. With 17% of the population in the UK using Facebook for news, it is the most popular platform. So realistically, The Guardian won't experience that much of a dip in audiences.
What platform is being used as an alternative to X?
So they have a platform called Blue Sky, and Blue Sky offers users the chance to more heavily moderate their experience. This includes the ability to select the algorithm that drives what you see, helping create custom feeds. For example, a feed for mutual followers, which is the opposite of X, which when Elon Musk took in charge, allowed broader opinions, especially ones like pro-Trump. So the Blue Sky algorithm is definitely self-controlled, and in other words, users have more power than Twitter users because they can select what appears in their feed. For New Media Beats, I am Jesse Manuel. Back to you, Emma.
Thanks, Jesse. Elon Musk's social media platform is having trouble in France as well. It is a different problem. A group of French newspapers are suing X. It is still a conflict between news publishers and social media platforms. But this one is about money. Who should get paid? Who should be making money for the news content that publishers create? Most of advertising revenue is going to the platform, and less is getting to the news publishers. Can journalism survive without revenue source, without a profitable business model? Do platforms need to give back to publishers who create the content shared on social media? Nelson Benitez has the story for New Media Beat. Nelson, who is suing X, and what are they angry about?
There are several French news organizations that are suing X, and they're all suing for the same reason. According to Le Monde, the joint action against the social media company run by U.S. billionaire Elon Musk is led by many French news organizations, including Le Monde, Le Figaro, Le Cause, Le Parisien, Télérom, Court International, Le Huffington Post, and Le Nouveau Boss. They said in a statement, this lawsuit is resulting in these news outlets requesting an immediate court order as to bring what they feel is wrongdoing towards from X towards them. These outlets also feel justified in suing X for what they feel is causing them wrongful doing.
What are the French news outlets accusing X of and suing X for?
The French news outlets have all accused X of committing a grievance towards them, which is in turn not being truthful in their actions as a platform. According to Le Monde, they accuse the site formerly known as Twitter of violating so-called neighboring rights, which under a European restrictive transposition into French law are due to social media platforms' republished news content. According to Reuters, they also said that the news platform is due payment under their auxiliary rights, which allows payment to news outlets by digital platforms for the distribution of their content. These many French organizations believe that X is supposed to give them proper payment for promotion and their content on X. X, however, does not believe that they should pay for all the promotion which has been made by the French news outlets, and that this has caused the French news outlets to become frustrated. X is not working with these allegations and is refusing to accept the blame. the newspapers, as well as the French news agencies, or the Assange French Press, has already asked for an emergency injunction against X, which they accuse of not negotiating, as said by The Guardian. The news outlets spoke on this issue as well by mentioning a statement. They said that X, which is now owned by billionaire Elon Musk, has not complied with any order issued by the French court in justice in May to release information required to calculate the amount owed. This revenue from these rights with the investigation would enable the beneficiaries to make a boost to popularity and independence quality of the media, which is essential for freedom of expression and the right to information in our democratic society, is what the newspaper said in a statement to Reuters. Elon Musk, who owns X, expressed his thoughts on the social media platform, on his social media platform, stating that this is bizarre, that they want us to pay them for traffic on their site where they're making advertising revenue and we don't. So the full hearing will take place on May 15, 2025.
Have the French news outlets had a history of issues with X before?
Yeah, so this is not the first time that French news organizations have had issues with social media platform X. They actually had a similar issue in this year in May 2024. On May 2024, a Paris tribunal agreed with the media companies and gave X 2 months to provide commercial data that would allow the outlets to assess the income for the platform earnings and their content. X has not yet complied with this decision to this day, demonstrating its continued intent to avoid its legal obligations, the newspaper said. Justifying their latest site, France has been fighting for years to protect the publishing rights and revenue of its press and news agencies, against which it terms and deems domination of powerful tech companies that share news content or show news information on their websites. To tackle this, the EU actually created a form of copyright called neighboring rights that allows news media to demand compensation for the use of their content, as said by The Guardian. The platform X has not provided data on this to this day and refuses to cooperate, believing that they don't owe anything. The European Union made the copyright law of the neighboring right in part to promote and help news sites on X and other sites feel what they get what they deserve. From New B2B, I'm Nelson Benitez. Back to you, Emily.
Thank you, Nelson. Let's talk about the media giants. Sony is a major player in global media, but it wants more. When big wants to get bigger, it goes shopping. Sony is getting ready to buy another Japanese media conglomerate. Sony wants to acquire Kadokawa. What makes Kadokawa so appetizing to Sony? What is Kadokawa? Keith Ford is in Studio A to talk about the very big business of media in Japan. The major Japanese media corporations are global giants. One of the biggest is Sony. Sony is a global tech and entertainment brand that already owns many media companies. Sony wants to expand its role in very big business of digital and online gaming. Sony has identified a major player in the industry, another media conglomerate called Kadokawa. Have you heard of Kadokawa? Kadokawa owns some of the most successful game developing studios. If Sony acquires Kadokawa, it will get all those gaming software creator studios. If you are an avid gamer, you have probably played a Kadokawa game already. What is Kadokawa? What is the important acquisition for Sony? Ethan, give an introduction of Kadokawa. What is it? What are some of the games that Kadokawa Studios have developed?
Kadokawa is a Japanese multimedia publisher. They're a very important acquisition for Sony, though, because they own the subsidiary From Software, who are the developers of Elden Ring and the Dark Souls franchise.
Elden Ring? Souls-like? What are these, and why are they important?
Elden Ring is a massively popular role-playing game for consoles and PC. According to the Japan Times, it has sold 25 million copies, making it one of the biggest selling of all time. Not only that, it won Game of the Year back in 2022. The game stands on the shoulders of giants, being considered, as the Japan Times put it, a Souls-like. The term is used to describe a game that is similar in gameplay to the acclaimed video game franchise Dark Souls. Dark Souls is known for its challenging gameplay mechanics that make players repeat the same mistake over and over until they get used to the way the game plays, and then time their attacks and defenses. Sony would gain a lot from acquiring these franchises. In a full buyout of Kadokawa, their current 14% stake in From Software could become another 70% ownership of the company, according to GameRant. Why is this important? One word, exclusivity. This percentage of ownership, according to GameRant, could lead to future From Software releases having timed exclusivity on Sony hardware. This is important for Sony because it will increase console sales from dedicated Souls-like fans, and there's a lot of them.
Why is Kadokawa looking for a buyout? And will this work for Sony or hurt them in the long run?
Kadokawa, amongst other Japanese companies, is a target since it's publicly traded. Recently, a ransomware attack earlier this year has depressed its stock price and may have made it conscious of the need for partners, according to the Japan Times. But this is just part of the picture, according to Reuters. 2 years ago, Tsuchihiko Kadokawa, the son of the company's founder, resigned as chairman after he was indicted on bribery charges related to the Tokyo Olympics.
What are the long-term effects of these deals?
This deal could help Sony, but it could also hurt them further down the line. Recently, they had a costly failure with the launch of their game Concord, according to the Japan Times. Many fans worry that the acquisition, if successful, could be harmful to their favorite franchise. Until more information about the deal is available, we are left to speculate how this could potentially play out.
What effects will the purchase of Kadokawa have on Microsoft if Sony makes Elden Ring and Dark Souls launch exclusives?
Microsoft will suffer losses in console sales, and I imagine that since Dark Souls games have been available on other platforms like Nintendo recently as well, they will suffer too. Although the exclusivity would most likely only be at launch. So this deal would give Sony a major advantage in the video game market. Back to you, Ellen.
We are jumping from Japan to Mexico with Tylan Lassane. Tylan has a report about news shows in Mexico. What's news about this show? La Verdrag is a news show hosted by a 33-year-old journalist. What's new about that? Amanda is Mexico's first drag television newscaster. Is Mexico ready for Amanda? Is she popular? Has there been backlash? Is Amanda on a mission? Mexico, like the U.S., can be very hostile to drag queens and the LGBTQ community. Can La Verdrag make a difference? Tylan, what makes Amanda and La Verdrag special?
Guillermo Barraza, also known as his drag persona Amanda, is Mexico's first drag queen news anchor. He hosts La Verdrag, a program focused on LGBTQ plus rights, gender issues, and violence against queer communities. Barraza uses his platform to spotlight marginalized voices and advocate for human rights, all while facing significant backlash and threats. His work underscores the intersection of journalism and activism in a country where LGBTQ plus visibility remains dangerous.
In what ways has Barraza helped increase the visibility of LGBTQ plus representation in Mexican media?
Barraza has expanded LGBTQ plus representation by hosting La Verdrag, the country's first news program to be hosted by a drag queen. Through his platform, he highlights crucial issues like the LGBTQ plus rights, violence against queers, and bringing voices into the mainstream. His interviews with figures like OCL Baena, Latin's first openly non-binary magistrate, further amplify queer visibility and challenge societal norms, making Barraza a pivotal figure in reshaping media representation in Mexico. People admire him for his boldness in blending journalism and advocating using his platform to spotlight LGBTQ rights, gender equality, and social justice issues. His charismatic presence and ability to address serious topics and authentically have made him a relatable and inspiring figure. Barraza's work resonates with audiences who appreciate his courage in challenging societal norms and giving visibility to LGBTQ plus communities.
What is the risk of his visibility?
Guillermo Barraza's visibility as a drag queen journalist brings both recognition and real risk. While his show La Verdrag has gained attention for tackling LGBTQ plus issues, it also exposes him to hate and threats. This danger became clear when he interviewed OCL Baena, Latin's first openly non-binary magistrate, who was murdered shortly after the interview. While authorities initially suggested it was a murder/suicide, many believed it was a targeted hate crime. Barraza has openly acknowledged the fear that comes with his public visibility, knowing the risk it poses him and his loved ones. For New Media B, I'm Tylan Lassane. Back to you, Evan.
Thank you, Tylan. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. New Media B is produced by Gabriel Gambuza and Jonathan Shafati. Our engineer is Gabriel Gambusa, and my co-host is Ethan Ford. Thank you, Ethan.
Today we heard reports from Nelson Benitez, Marie Duran, Emily Famayet, Ethan Ford, Victoria Lapkowitz, Tom Lassane, Jesse Manuel, and Frank Whitehead.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our web credits and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Stay tuned for more great programming on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio.